Good morning, and welcome on this Fusion Sunday here at Gates Presbyterian Church. On the last Sunday of the month, for those who aren't aware, we create a worship planning experience for all ages to be able to interact with through song and spoken words, prayer and movement. So this is an extra special worship opportunity where we have a firm commitment in making sure that our youngest worshipers are also included. So just a few ideas of how to help make everyone feel welcome and included is, first, the hymnal. Make sure you can hold it where little ones can see. The offering plate. Make sure that it gets passed and they hold it as well. During the sermon time, we'll have two interactive opportunities. One is a very informal kind of guided meditation. That might sound a little scary if you've never done it before, but we'll close our eyes and just use our imaginations. And then also in the bulletin, there are some colored pieces of paper, one of which has a scripture verse on top. During the sermon, I'll invite you to draw or write some reflections. And then the hymn following the sermon, and also during the offering, I'll ask if you feel like it, you can come and tack them up on the gate. There are some push pins. So if you're with little ones, I ask that you help them so they don't try to push it into their brother or sister. So welcome. We are glad that you are here. And I have one question before we really get started. Is everyone okay? I didn't have anyone come ask me to do an announcement this morning. So I just needed to make sure we're doing okay. Are we doing okay? All right, good. We're taking that big, deep breath this week before we get started in Holy Week, which is the first full week of April. Lots of great worship opportunities. Take a look at your Harbinger when it comes in the mail and see ways that you can come and be a part of our worship life here at Gates Presbyterian Church. Now, let us open our hearts, our minds, our hands, our giggles, and our bodies to worship God.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. We come to the gate of the Good Shepherd. All colors, personalities, quirks, and possibilities. Great is the faithfulness of the shepherd.
Yeah.
Of God's praises, of the great ways that God is faithful, let us come together as individuals and as community and give voice to the ways that we have turned away from the Great Shepherd. Please join me in the prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. Sheep follow their shepherds, O God, but we do not always follow you. Others lead us astray. Things scare us. We lose our way. We think it is our job to close the gate and decide who is in or out. We aren't the gate. Jesus is the gate. Help us to be the sheep that follow you, listen for your voice, and knows your mercy through the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who keeps us safe. And we offer to God our prayers of confession through silence and sometimes a bit of voice.
The children, please come forward.
I love how you wore your sash. That's awesome.
Good job bringing your sash.
Can you take a penny and pass it around? Everybody take one penny.
Take a penny and pass it around. Good morning. Oh, come on. Last week we had to do it twice. Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Well, this morning I see some of my ambassadors here have brought their sashes, and I'd like this young man to stand up and show the congregation how he wore a sash this morning. He is an awesome ambassador. Good job. Okay. So this morning, I would like to talk to you about the difference between wishing for things and praying for things. Some of the adults, and some of you got this in your handouts at the door. This woman is from Haiti. And they had some trouble there with the weather. The rain and the wind came and made a mess of their towns and their houses. Did everybody get a penny? Okay. What do you think this woman wished for if her house had been blown down? Yes, what would she wish for?
A new house.
A new house. What kinds of things do you think got lost in her house? Everything. Can you imagine going home and having no house and losing everything? So she probably wished for a lot of things, right? What are some of the things you wish for? Yes. Your playground did? Because my playground got blown down, so I wish for my playground to be fixed. Awesome. Well, let me just tell you that wishing for something is hoping that what you wish for happens in the future. But praying for something is having a discussion with God, is having a chat with God. You can do that all day long. You can do it before you go to bed at night. You can chat with God before you have breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You can chat with God anytime, and He's always going to be there to listen. Now, how many of you have gone to the mall or on a vacation where you saw a fountain and people threw pennies in to wish? You have. So you probably all know what this is going to do, right? This is something that my husband made for me. And it's a fountain. But I would like you to take your pennies, and I would like you to not wish for something. I'd like you to think about God up in your head and pray about something. And it can be a quick prayer for somebody like this woman in Haiti who we need to help with our fish banks. We want to help her get those things back in her house. We want to help her rebuild her house and have food and all the things that we have, and maybe even a playground in her neighborhood. Okay? So you can make a quick prayer in your head. You can toss your penny in the fountain. And then after you make your prayer and throw your penny, you can go to class. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Hi, friends. Can you guys make your prayer? And I would like to invite you to stay. It's okay. You can get up and make your prayer. And would you stay up here with me? Because our first scripture reading, we're going to do on the big screen. And I want you guys to be able to see. Would that work out well? Okay. All right. So go ahead. Make your prayer. And can we leave the fountain on? It's perfect. Psalm 23. Okay. Ready? All right, everyone made their prayers? Yes? Be careful of the cord. Ready? Does everyone just, you guys can stay where you are, and we, this way you guys can see really well, okay? So you can sit back down. I need you to sit down too, please. No. Thank you. I need you to sit back down. All right, friends. This is a great way to read scripture. Because when there are pictures, it helps us to be able to use our imagination all that much better. This is a very familiar scripture passage called Psalm 23. Are you ready? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Do you hear the quiet waters? It's not that quiet, you're right. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you for listening and watching with me. And you are invited to do a couple things. If you want to go sit with your parents, you can do that. If you're real little and want to go to the nursery, talk to your mom and dad about that. If you get wiggly, remember, today is Fusion Sunday. Tell your mom, your dad, your grandma and grandpa, and those sitting around you, it's okay. Okay? I have some crayons in case you didn't get any at the door. I want to give them to you, so there's some sheets in your bulletin you can color, or you can color all over your bulletin, whatever works for you, okay? So if you didn't get any, go ahead and grab them. All right, and I'm going to turn the fountain off, otherwise I think we're all going to need a break. There we go. All right, thank you.
The second reading of the word is from the Common English Bible, John 10, verses 1 through 10. I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate, but climbs over the wall, is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away, because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying, so Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came so that I could have life, indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. I'm just reading what you told me to. So you're the preacher. Can you figure that out?
Fair enough. I did just give her the scripture to read. Jesus is the gate. But this is not an exactly an easy thing to figure out. Because when Jesus starts talking in metaphors, he loses even the smartest of the religious teachers and leaders, like the Pharisees, to whom Jesus is speaking in this parable. Now, the Pharisees are the people who see themselves in charge of deciding who's going to come in and go out of the gate of the temple and experience God's presence. They think that they get to decide who is in and who is out of religious life, like a gatekeeper. So it starts making me feel a bit nervous when Jesus starts calling himself the gate. I imagine security lines at the airport and checkpoints at borders. I don't exactly associate the still waters and green pastures of peace and calm with these kinds of gates. In fact, any time I am at these kinds of gates, it stirs up feelings of anxiety and stress and fear. And these aren't things that I want to associate with Jesus. They don't match up for me with the Jesus that I know of other scripture. The one who eats with sinners, befriends those who no one else wants to be friends with, and cares for people who everybody else ignores. But right away in this passage, Jesus claims himself as the gate. So let's pause for a moment and use our imaginations to picture what Jesus is talking about. So if you're comfortable, it's not a requirement, it's okay, you'll still be allowed through the gate if you don't, but we're going to close our eyes and we're going to use our imaginations to picture sheep. Hundreds of them. Some of them are wandering around together. Some of them are laying beside the stream. They're nibbling on the green grass. They're making sheep noises at each other. And then the shepherd speaks. Soft ears of the sheep, they twitch a little bit. And they abandon the soft grass, the cool waters. And they follow the voice of the shepherd. The sheep follow him wherever he goes. He takes them
to a pen made out of stones. It's only about waist high, and laid on the top of it are sharp sticks and thorns to keep other animals out that like to eat sheep. This pen is a place where the sheep can find comfort and security. The shepherd and the sheep, they go in and out of only one place in the pen where there is an opening wide enough for the sheep to pass through. And so they come, and they go, protected by the shepherd, who lies his body across the opening of the pen to keep the shepherd safe. The shepherd has promised the sheep that he will put his own well-being before theirs, because he is the great shepherd gate. Okay, you can open your eyes now. And in your bulletin, that piece of paper I talked about at the beginning, there's some Bible verses on the top, and one side asks you to draw a picture, or if you want to use words, that's fine. Whatever you want to show what you think the Great Shepherd Gate and the sheep look like to you. If you flip it over on the other side, it asks you to draw or write some words that describe what a safe place looks like to you. So during the whole rest of the sermon, it's okay. You can pull pencils out of the hospitality registers too, dig them out of your purse. Doesn't matter how young or older you may be, everyone is invited to participate and write things down or help a younger one who is next to you. And after the sermon, the hymn, we'll tack them up on the gate. But if writing or drawing isn't really your thing, then I invite you to reflect on one of the more challenging aspects of this passage. After offering that up, you might become a writing or drawing person very quickly. Now, one of the reasons that this passage is challenging is because whether we want to admit it or not, for centuries, the church has acted like the Pharisees and uses this passage about Jesus to decide who is in and who is out. Cynthia Jarvis reminds us that all too often, if we see Jesus as the gate, the church has gladly stepped up to serve as the moral gatekeeper. The church has served as a moral gatekeeper, dividing people of different faiths, denominations, theologies, worship practices, races, genders, political affiliations, sexual orientations, economic, citizenship status, the list goes on. The church has even served as moral gatekeeper, dividing people based on whether you had, on that particular Sunday, the right clothes, hats, and gloves, optional. You name it, I am sure the church has found one way or another to say, you know what? You're in and you're out. It was not all that long ago our Reformed and Presbyterian ancestors worshiped in a space with fenced communion tables. Literally, there was a gate around the communion table. Ministers and elders thought the consequences of an unworthy person receiving communion were so dire that they examined people before the service so that only those deemed worthy were allowed beyond the barrier to approach the communion table. It's one of the reasons that I've been really careful about where the gate for this Lenten series has been placed, and I haven't put it on the other side of the communion table, because I am aware that even if we haven't worshiped at a church where we felt the physical, saw the physical gate keeping us from the communion table, we, from one time or another, have worshiped somewhere where there was something that made us feel like we were excluded from that church community. But if we listen closely to this passage, we discover a different thing is happening. The shepherd calls to the sheep by name, and he leads them out. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow. Again, Jesus says, "I am the gate," and continues, "Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." He does not define who can come in and who can't. There's no loud voice on the announcement system at the airport reminding you that you can only go in if you have the one quart clear bag containing 3-ounce bottles. Only those can enter. There's no checkpoint arm waiting for the appropriate national passport before lifting to enter. The purpose of the gate isn't to keep some sheep in and keep some out. The gate is not a dividing line between welcome and unwelcome, good and bad, desirable and undesirable. As we open our hearts to this passage, we discover a shepherd not looking to divide, but protect. Jesus is the gate. He calls. We come in and we go out. We come in again. There simply is a shepherd calling the sheep into a safe place to pasture, to rest, and to be saved. This Christ lying across the opening is the shepherd who invites us all to gather in community. This community that the shepherd himself created, where we can live, love, and struggle to be the people God calls us to be. To be part of this sheepfold does not give us special privileges to be the gatekeepers. We are called into community by the voice of the shepherd who lays down his life in a world where rejection, stress, fear, and separation are the dangers that threaten the sheep. He has promised to love and care for. Friends, Jesus is the gate. And we are called to enter together. Thanks be to God. Amen. So friends, you're invited during the hymn, which we're going to shorten a little bit. So we're going to sing the first verse. Adrian got that? First verse. We're just going to sing the first verse. And you're invited to come forward if you have any drawings or words and tack them up. And if you don't get a chance to do it, come up during the offering too, and we'll place them on the gate. So let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
may be seated. And if you didn't get a chance, don't worry, you can come back up. Friends, we come to our time in worship where we share the prayers of joy and the prayers of concern that are on our hearts. And a reminder to our young worshipers who are normally in Sunday school. Good morning. You could stick it up there. Do you want me to do it? Okay. That we do share your prayers that you share in Sunday school at this time. So you're not in Sunday school. So you're allowed to have the microphone and share a prayer. What are those prayers of joy and concern this morning? No announcements and no prayers. You guys are making me nervous. Perfect. Excellent. Good job. Thank you.
Bob and I would like to announce that our son Rob is engaged to Jessica McEntee. She'll be graduating in May from Brockport College, and he's at MCC. If you see them at Wegmans Chalet, say congrats. Thanks.
Congrats to them and to you. Any other prayers? One right there.
Good morning. I would like prayers for Jack Hughes, who isn't doing very well at all, and for his wife and family. They need the support, and thank you.
Amen. Continue your prayers for Jack. There's one up front.
Janice Bilalovic. I'd just like to thank everyone for their prayers for George. I've been asked a lot how he's doing, and he's recovering. It's kind of slow. He's gets weaker every time he has one of these attacks. But he did have a pulmonary test on Friday, and they said he actually did better than he had done before. So it is looking up, and he has hopefully quit smoking finally.
Amen. That's a good prayer. And we continue to offer prayers for Carol Ann and her sabbatical journeys and adventures. All right. Day by day, oh God, gate of grace, your love is poured out into the emptiness of our souls. You share your joy so we might be a blessing to those all around us. You are generous to a fault, that we might have glad and generous hearts. Day by day, great shepherd, you lead us down the streets of discipleship and service, uncomfortable as they may seem to us, knowing that at the end of our journey, we will find ourselves at home with goodness and mercy. Day by day, spirit of welcome, you watch over us so we will not wander into busy traffic at the corner of sin and death, but will find our life in the front yards of your kingdom. God, help us to follow, to hear your voice, to care for the flock that you have entrusted us with in this world. God, in community, holy and one, we open the gates of our hearts to you, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us celebrate the faithfulness and goodness of God, who provides an abundance to us by offering back a portion of those offerings.
Thank you.
Good Shepherd. Thank you for teaching us to follow you and share with those who have little or nothing, and take the time to really know one another and love you as you've loved us. Amen.
Walk by on your way out. These reflections are beautiful, truly a celebration of the ways in which Jesus calls us as the Great Shepherd. He lies down. He lays his life down and is the gate to keep us safe, to protect us. So go from this place. Go knowing the Good Shepherd will continue to guide us back home now and always. Amen.